Hello and welcome to the Fire Officer Project Podcast, a show where we will discuss and learn together about topics specific to the American Fire Service. Come along as we explore areas such as firehouse traditions and culture, the fire family life, leadership, as well as getting yourself ready to be the company officer. This show is for everyone from the rookie firefighter to newly promoted officers. I'm your host, Mark McCurdy. Now let's get on with the show. Well, hello, welcome to episode 18. I'm going to call this one simply morale. I didn't feel like sitting there trying to come up with some cool slogan or some cool thing to grab your attention. All I'm talking about is morale. And I think it's a topic that it gets talked about a lot. So everything you hear today may not be something astronomically new that you're like, wow, that's amazing. It's like the last episode I talked about how it's kind of the same information. It's just how it's delivered, how you respond to people, and how the message comes across to you. So strictly morale. How do you keep up morale in the firehouse, under your command or soon to be command, whatever you're working towards? How do you, even if you're brand new, how do you keep morale up and how do you inject positive morale and things like that? So that's going to be our subject topic. I have a bullet points of things that I think can help increase morale. We'll talk about some different things about morale and how it's a constant up and down roller coaster. So, and like I said, this isn't, every time I do this, it's just my opinion at a moment in time. I'm affected by everything right around me. So 10 years from now, I may listen to myself if this platform is even around still and go, what an idiot. That's what I thought then at that age, at that moment in time. But before I put stuff out there, like try to keep it somewhat timeless, but who the hell knows? We don't know how long things are going to go, right? Or how long we're going to be here or whatever. So I'm just giving you the opinions of based up to where I am in life now and people that have influenced me, things I've done and screwed up. And that's the whole basis of this concept of this whole fire officer project and trying to get people ready. It's just another medium to try to pass on some knowledge and see if that helps anybody in the future. So saying that, two things. One, I'm already a little bit amped up this morning, a little bit of coffee. My back's killing me. So I'm like in that tension, pain, kind of irritated thing, which it's getting better. Just the normal wear and tear on our bodies, right? And it's finally caught up to me. And I'll discuss that maybe a little bit later, but I'm just a little bit edged. So if the language pops out and you got little ones in the car, that might happen today because I do feel strongly about morale. And I'm not saying like you have to have language to get your point across, but there are certain things where it's just like you have to bring it up a notch. So you know, it's not an Andrew Dice Clay monologue thing here. It's just, I'm just saying, every once in a while, something might pop out. And secondly, as much as I'm talking right into a microphone, literally sitting in my little corner of my walk-in closet here that I've set up for my studio for sound, this is almost therapy, or it is, not almost. It is therapy for myself and also a reminder to myself. So I don't want you to think I'm up here on my high horse or standing on a soapbox pointing down at you saying, you guys have to be better and do this and do that because I'm awesome. Absolutely not. And I hope I don't come off of that vibe. But then again, most of us are alpha and all we do is just nip at each other's heels for the most part anyway. My whole point is it's like talking to myself to remind myself I'm just talking out loud. And then I decide to record it and put it out to the world. So I'm just letting you know that as much as I'm saying in here, it's also a constant reminder to myself because am I 100%, 100% of the time? Am I switched on all the time and it's so awesome to work around me? No. I'm just saying it's some material. It's a good reminder of maybe some things you have heard or haven't, or maybe you hear it a different way, but it's also me reminding myself to stay on that track too. So just wanted to put that out there. I don't need to go rehash what's been going on. It's only been a couple weeks since my last episode, which is amazing because I haven't done that yet. I'm trying to stick to that goal of getting something out every 2 weeks, and it's not going to be an exact day science just based on work schedule and how I can get it, but it's going to be in that 2 week window is what I'm going to try to always try to achieve. So there isn't too much. A couple shifts at work. It's been steady, nothing outrageous. So I just want to get this out, and I'm also working towards getting the interview stuff set up. I'm going to be contacting some people this week getting a list, getting a plan for them. And if I need to stretch it out one more time or a couple of weeks before I can get some interviews and get it handled, I'll come up with another subject topic matter for the next 2 weeks. So until then, let's handle the task at hand. Morale. So let me see here. Let me just hit it. Let me just go right with it, right? How to keep morale high. How to keep everything positive and try to come up with some ideas of ways to keep morale high, not only if you're a firefighter, a driver, engineer, apparatus operator, whatever you call it, company officer, or you're just trying to get into the fire service, then, then this can, some of this can apply to you, right? But mostly this is going to be firehouse life stuff, morale stuff. And so right off the get-go, what increases morale the most? Well, if you're in the fire service, having a fire, going on a fire increases morale. And I've said this in previous episodes where you can see where people start getting tight with each other and things can get a little tension increases around a firehouse when there's a lull in fires. Now, yes, I will preface it with, we don't want people's stuff to get destroyed or damaged or people to get hurt, injured, or killed. I get that, right? I need to say that, but the only way we get better at our task and what we're here for is to actually go on fires. And I'm not talking about Connex containers and hay fires and stuff like that. Though that's good for skill building and learning, you got to go on legit fire incidents to get better all around. Obviously, I don't want people's stuff to get hurt or stuff to get destroyed or them get hurt or anything, but that's why we're here. That's why there's a fire department. That's why there's a fire service, whether it's wildland, municipal, private, whatever it is. It's always going to be something we have to contend with. So we're always going to be here. And then we're going to move on. Each of us is going to do our little section that we give. And then when we retire, somebody's right behind us. It's going to move on past us. So when we don't have fires, right, you can kind of notice the tension gets up. And then when one shift gets it or seems like one shift seems to get all the fires, everybody else gets pissy. That's the one like little thing that resets, especially if everybody starts getting little ones or starts getting something. And why is that? What is it that helps people reset almost? Well, I think it's because you're constantly working, training, thinking about, motivated by these fires, right? And trying to get our skills and tools and stuff. But when you're constantly just cleaning tools and waiting, the tension builds up. And then it's like that release when you finally have one and you can show off your skills and it may go really great and it may go like crap. But you're going to learn either way, right? So that kind of is like the great reset sometimes. It's just having a fire. It helps you to learn little small things, helps pass on things. You really get to apply all the skills that you've been working and training towards. I don't see anything else around that. It just seems like naturally that when we have fires, morale is already high. So if you already work in an area that goes on a lot of fires, your morale is probably high all the time. And it's a couple things, the people that work there, the personalities, and then constantly going on fires, like in the background, is keeping your morale high, whether you see it or not. It's just my personal opinion that it just seems like that's like one of the level playing field things. And when there isn't, and you work at a place that's slower, maybe with fires or generally just slower in calls, we get at least probably have something similar to call it. We call it slow station problems. There's things that creep in and now people are pissy about which way the toilet paper is facing and stuff. You're like, Jesus, are you kidding me? This is slow station things. So some of that goes away when you work at a busier house, but there's not time for that. And morale is different because of calls and things. So you kind of get where I'm going. But in between, you can't really control that. So you can't control necessarily when fires come, obviously. You may not have control over a place that you're working at currently, because you may have promoted into a place that is foreign to you or is maybe slower than you want to be. Or there's so many dynamics, right? So sometimes you can't control it. So how do you wrangle morale or try your best to keep it high? So that's what we're going to talk about here. I'm not going to be able to hit every subject, and there's going to be cool ideas that you have that maybe I'm not even aware of. So once again, if you have something that I didn't mention here or I talk about and then I naturally stray away, which something happens kind of regularly with me, hit me up. Feel free to hit me up. Instagram, Facebook, email. There's even a link to my phone, actually. I don't know if I should keep doing that. A way to just text me directly from Instagram. There's a button now, I guess, for that. So I'm open to it. If you're a kook, then I'm going to block you, but I'm just kidding. Feel free to do any of that. If I didn't feel like I cared enough for that to happen, I wouldn't put myself out there. So I'm going to try to hit a bunch of stuff here, but obviously I'm not going to be able to capture everything. So in between fires, just because I was talking about that, how do we keep morale up? Well, when we go to fires, it's a way to test our skills and training level and our abilities, all that stuff. So what would be the natural way? Well, how about quality training? And I'm talking good quality training, not half-ass, just going through the motions, everybody peacocking about how bitching they are or something. No. It's okay to have that every once in a while. There's going to be those people you can't even control anyway because they have that personality. But just having good quality training. Now, has every drill I've ever been to or put on been awesome? Hell no. But if you're striving to shoot for good quality, great. It's obvious, right? We've all been on crappy drills and we've all been on really good ones. And when people go, who's teaching it? What happens? Everybody stays engaged when it's a certain person. Look at fire symposiums, FDIC, Firehouse World, all these other ones, even the private ones like guys are putting on. Now they're awesome. They pop up everywhere. And it's so amazing to see all the different people that are putting together programs out of thin air and just putting it out to social media and just people show up. It's awesome. And that stuff is out there. That's good quality. They constantly put out good quality. Then it becomes a reputation. And then it becomes, you need to get these people to your department. It's awesome. It's like a snowball rolling downhill, right? It just gets going. That's good quality training. But can you do good quality training 3 o'clock in the afternoon, cup of coffee, sitting around the kitchen table? Yes, you can. Doesn't have to be some big blown out days, weeks, trying to prep and logistically put something together. Now, it's good to do those, and it's not good to just do one like, oh, we train 3 o'clock every day at coffee and we talk about stuff. You know better what I'm thinking. But it's a mix of all of that stuff and just constantly doing it, moving the peg forward, right? So just short, quick quality drills, big elaborate ones, multi-company, single company, all that other stuff. So what I'm trying to say is don't shorten or cheapen good training for the sake of insert what you're trying to do. Most of the time, it's dictated by lunch or dinner, mostly lunch, right? So we try to squeeze in a drill in the morning. And somebody who is giving the drill kind of does the whole, hey, guys, thanks for getting together. This will be really quick. Stop. You don't need to say that. I know we do that because we want to make people like us or have like an end game, like, is this going to go till 2 p.m? Because we've all been on those drills where you go the opposite way and the person doesn't even pay attention. And you're like, are you freaking kidding me? It's 1 o'clock right now. And do they look at a watch? What the hell are we doing right now? Now, if it's good quality training, we don't care, right? But I do feel if you're going to keep people late into what's not the norm, tell them up front. Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to work and we're going to be done at 1. Somewhat have a hard out. Don't have this unended, like, when the hell is this going to end type thing. And you kind of preface it before, hey, we're going to, you know, go until like 1 if you have those type drills. So if you tell people early enough, it's on them to bring a snack or bring their water, whatever they need to do to keep them comfortable. But you're at least telling them ahead of time. And then it is what it is. We don't get to control fires and calls and everything else. So if we're at lunch, we're not going to be like, oh, I got to finish, right? We don't do that. So the same thing can be done with training, as long as you're not consistently doing that, just running people through lunch and then they get a call and now they're not eating till 2 or 3. Okay, that's not going to go over well. Every once in a while, though, it's okay, especially if you already preface it ahead of time, the shift before, or the morning of when you call over and go, hey, we're getting together. We're not going to get together until about 11 or 10:30, but we got this, this, and this to get through. It might bleed into 12:30 or 1. You tell the company officer of the other stations that that's happening. It's up to them to pass it on to their crew to get them to be able to sustain through that. Okay. I know that's getting a little bit into the weeds, but I do feel small little communication things are what happens when things come together and then become a mess. So if you can think forward a little bit like that and prep people, that's on them. It isn't like you're surprising them when they get there and they're like, what the hell? And they didn't eat breakfast or whatever, maybe. So don't say that crap. Don't say, oh, we'll just knock this out quick. It's okay if it's a small drill that you're going to knock out, but if it takes longer to drive to the station drill site or wherever you're going, it takes longer than the actual drill. What do you think is going to happen with the morale of that? So consider that as well. What else do I have here? All right. No, you got to know when to push people a little bit, and you got to know and not let them off the hook, especially if they're having a tough time with it and they're just getting frustrated. Right. I'm not going to talk about teaching techniques right now. I'm just talking about morale. So if you do a drill, they're all engaged, but they're just having a bad day. Today's just a rough day. It's just not coming together. Well, stop. Right. You can stop things, pull them back for a second, pull them back as a company. No singling out people individually because you know how that's going to go. OK, let's look at what we're doing. Step back a few feet. Look at what we're doing. Talk about a few things. Discuss it. Reengage. Sometimes just that tiny bit of little reset helps it and then pushes it through to where now we're back on track of being positive. We're not going down and we hit the Y in the road or the fork in the road and we went down the, uh-oh, this is going to hell route, or you expose something. What happens when you do these drills and you expose all of a sudden things that you thought like, oh, I thought my crew was more dialed in than that. It's only one of two things. Either they weren't or they're just having a rough day. And when you've seen them perform in real life, and then they go do a drill and it's just not coming together, I would more so lean towards it's just a rough day. That's all. Not a problem. But look at it and really, really focus and go, is this a bad day thing, like where everybody's just not firing altogether? Or is this a consistent thing that you knew was there, didn't really address it, and now you're exposed? Okay, you know how to handle that. Figure that one out. I don't have to explain what you need to do with that one. But those are the things that happen, right? It's only a couple different options of ways that are going to pan out. Let's see. Yeah. Yep, got all that. Okay, so that's when it comes to physically doing a drill. Now, there's other things that can go deeper with that. But I think you got that idea. So the next version of training, everyone's favorite, online. We have a thing called Target Solutions or whatever it is now. And I'm not knocking that company at all because I do think it has its time and place. Do I think that we've leaned a little too heavy into it and then it becomes that's how we train, or so much is put on your plate on top of everything else you have to do that it becomes a burden? Yeah, I do think. And I'm one who's into training and I'm very appreciative of the career I have and the job I have and everything, but it has put a little bit to where everything's just get this done, click these boxes. Because when you put too much on people's plate, what are they trying to do? Just get through it. Do they really watch and click on the videos and pay attention? I think that's self-answered. I don't need to step on a landmine on that one. So is training, online training, good? Yeah, because for this reason. So online training, I think, is killing morale towards the training mentality. If all you do is just tell your crew, do the online training and you never take them out. Well, you're never taken out by your company officer. Then I get it. I'm talking to people that maybe want to become a company officer or some that already are now. So I had to swing it both ways. If you're the person sitting in the back seat and you know, like, we never go train, but we do all our online stuff. How do I apply this? But I don't want to say anything because you have the salty captain or the grumpy captain or whatever. It's okay to ask or push it through your chain of command, maybe to your engineer or senior firefighter. try to push it towards the captain, be like, can we go out and try this? Or we'd like to try this. You know, you may have to ask that, which kind of sucks if you have to ask. But believe me, right? You've seen it, you've experienced it, or you're going to. But you can't be the company officer and bitch and complain at the table and be like, online training sucks. And, oh, guess what? And you crap all over the fact that there's new online training. Because if that's what happens, your department puts out 2 online trainings per month. What do you think is going to happen next month in October? Or August or September or whatever? Oh, there's going to be 2 more? Why are you surprised? It's just part of the norm. Do it. Right? Am I the best at it? Hell no. I'm trying to get caught up all the time on stuff, trying to get caught up, get it out of the queue, right, of all the training I need to get done online. But we're not sitting on the station playing Xbox and then I'm bitching over here, bitching that it sucks and I'm not getting it done and not taking my crew out. Could I be better? Of course. Of course I could take them out more. We're never going to be as good as we think we are. But if you're always trying to move towards it or have this consistent pattern that that's how you operate, I guarantee you're going to have a line out the door eventually of people that want to work for you. All right. Online training is a way to share information. It's not really a way to learn because we're very task-oriented, hands-on people. But I do think it has its purpose and place for sharing information. Some things, do you really need to go play with? Okay. We just got new equipment, but something as simple as a gas detection meter, you know, low explosive, CO, all that. Yeah, you need to get your hands on it, but how much? It's a few buttons. You learn how to dial it in. Can you watch a video in the blue chair or in the recliner with a cup of coffee, watch a video that's online training and then play with it in the day room at your station? Yeah, of course. That's still good. It has a medium for that. I do believe that that part's good. But as the company officer, if you're just going, yeah, just look at that, how to pull a hose, talk about high-rise fires, brush fires, whatever's unique or whatever training is coming out, MCIs, and you're not taking your crew to physically out to do some of the bigger things that we need to do, well, shame on you. Because they're not going to learn, and they're not going to perform, and most of them aren't going to ask you because they think you're not into it or whatever it may be. Try to curb that and take them out. I know there's days it sucks, right? Like I was just bitching at the beginning that my back's sore and tight. Okay, well, I worked through it. If I was really banged up and jacked up, I wouldn't be at work. If I thought I was a burden or the weak link to not being able to do my job, I wouldn't be at work. But I can push through it, right? We get banged up and bruised and we've all had those aches and pains and you kind of just push through it. But that's not an excuse to be like, oh, we can't do anything today because I'm just, you know, a butt in the seat today and I'm just going to be a worthless turd. Not acceptable. So what I'm saying is the online training is a way to share the information. You have to go out and demonstrate it. Because what do we do? How much time do we waste on Instagram, Facebook, if you do that? Where all we do is scroll all these different fire department accounts and people's personal accounts and we look at stuff that makes us laugh. Or we look at fires and then all the keyboard warriors are just typing away, telling them, oh, I looked at this 10-second clip and I freaking know everything. Oh, no gloves, no BA, no blah, 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 blah. We spend enough time on those types of social media accounts tearing apart each other. Why can't you do, you have time to obviously go and do your online training to learn, to share that medium of information. So we just pick and choose, right? We just kind of like to complain. So let's see. What next? I can beat that up all day, but that's enough. How about having standards and expectations? Do you think, I've talked about this enough, right? You're probably sick of it already, but sorry, that's the way it's always going to be with me. If having high expectations and a standard, SOP, SOGs, that increases morale because you have an expectation and a standard that people like to have. They like to have a framework or a structure or an understanding of what is expected of them. And then work towards getting better at that. If you're the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde person that had, you don't know what the hell day it is when you come in, like who they're going to expect to get. And you really have no, like, you're just like, well, I'm just here. Well, let's expect your morale to be dog crap. And I don't need to talk about SOP, SOGs. All I'm saying is having that plus an expectation of how maybe your uniform expectation, how the station looks, how the rig looks, just the overall demeanor of the firehouse that you work at, that helps increase morale itself because people know what's expected of them. Now, they may not be living up to it. They may not have control of it, and they may not like it. But it has its ability to increase morale just by having those set standards. What else do I have? I think this happens in other fire departments, but when you say and you go outlying stations or you go working overtime somewhere, depending on the size of the departments, everybody could know each other and their personalities and where they work and all that. But larger agencies, you know, it's a little bit tougher because you may meet somebody you've never met before, or maybe you've seen them in a class and now you're working together that day. And that's the casual conversation of, hey, where do you work and how long you been on or whatever. And then so at some point, usually is, who do you work for? Like, what company officer do you work for? And we already know the answer to that, right? Like, somebody says something and then it's like, oh, sorry. Or, oh man, you're lucky. Somewhere in between sometimes too, right? That question gets asked a lot. So morale has a big influence, I think, on how people think of you. How do you keep the morale up? Now, am I saying it's so awesome, like everybody should bid my station? No, because my morale may not fit with other people's the way I think it's being portrayed. And like I said, it's a constant working process. So what are some bullet points of how I think you can increase morale? And once again, like I said, it's me talking to myself as well. First one, as the company officer or the person who, as the individual, I always start with the individual, no matter what we're talking about, morale, SOP, SOGs, you as the individual getting ready in the morning, whatever it may be. I'm always talking about you as the entity itself. Well, check yourself at the door. Before you cross that threshold into the firehouse or even get out of your car, try to fix your crap before you come in. Meaning, if you got into an argument with your significant other last night and it bled over until today and you're still pissed, or something catastrophic happened in your family, dog died, kids having a rough day at school, whatever it may be, you got to kind of check yourself at the door because everybody's got something going on. And now there's major ones, right? There's major ones. I'm not saying downplaying this minor. If you have, none of this is minor, but what I'm saying is if you have things that are affecting you personally, you can't cover every scenario. Check yourself at the door if you can control it. If it's major and big, say something to somebody. Like, I'm just having a bad day. Or, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could handle going to work the next day if all of a sudden my wife said, hey, I want a divorce. Like, oh, shit. I don't know if I could handle that. Or something big, right? Trying to think if I had to go back to where it was a while ago. So I came from work to meet my dad at the hospital when my mom died. That sucked. And then the rest of the day was shit, right? And then I had to go back to work, I think the day or two later. I'm sure I was in a fog and not doing well and probably should have taken the day off, but I don't remember exactly. But I'm just saying, you have these big catastrophic lumps where you have like, I'm pissed because I got a flat tire. Well, okay. Check it, man. Check it at the door before you walk in. Let's see. Okay. Have a routine. Okay. No one likes the daily unexpectedness. Nobody likes to come in and be like, who do we get today? Did they take their meds or not? Are they on some new diet where they're not eating sugar and they just cold turkeyed it or not dipping or whatever the hell it might be? And now, oh, this person's an asshole today. Great. Try to control that as best you can. Or if you are doing that, let people know, hey guys, I'm trying not to dip now, so I may be a little grumpy. Is it an acceptable excuse to do that? And now it's just you can do whatever you want? No, of course not. But those things do affect your day. All right, communicate. Communicates things like I just said as the example before. Also, we have a lineup in the morning, right? Most places have a lineup. Communicate what the day will look like. Nobody likes surprises. Especially when it's something that affects what time you might eat, what time dinner might be on or something. Barring calls, I'm talking about this, the business side of the fire service. Drills, station tours, move-ups, things that you can kind of somewhat control, the framework in the background. Always tell people what the day activities look like, what time, when and where, and if you have to, depending on where it's appropriate, what the end state of what it should look like. And people are like, oh, you're telling people too much. Nope. Either that or I'm just jacked up because I like to know all that stuff. And it all boils down to an expectation. What time are we leaving? Where do we need to be? What is the project? What's it supposed to look like? Or where are we trying to shoot for by the end of the day? Cool. Awesome. You know, insert wherever. But people like that stuff, I think, because we don't like surprises. We don't like to be told, hey, you know what? Let's go out here and just start sanding this ladder or do this. Now, okay, you may not thought of it and line up, and now you're kind of, you're not springing stuff on. You're just like, oh, you know what? Since we're not doing too much today, let's knock this out. Okay. Or fire prevention. Ooh, everybody's favorite, fire prevention. If I tell my crew, right, hey, we need to start doing some fire prevention, I lead into it a couple of days ahead of actually doing it. So it's in the background. It's that time of the year. We're going to start doing some fire prevention. We'll knock out a little bit every day. Okay, they know. They already know. They know what's going on. But if I don't say something, do you think they're going to ask me like, hey, Cap, can we go do fire prevention? Hell no. But those are the things I'm saying. Okay, we're going to knock out 15. We'll come back. We'll enter them. Cool. Perfect. Done. That is end state. They don't need a detailed explanation. All I'm saying is 15 is the end. Don't go, you know what? Let's do another 10. Because now you're killing it. Now nobody believes you when you go, oh, we're doing fire prevention. We're only going to knock out 15. You're like, every time this jack wagon says, oh, 15, we end up doing 30. So be consistent. Be all that stuff to help keep morale going. We're at work. That's what we do. It's not all fun and games all the time. Okay. Besides all the work stuff, how about bonding time? Bonding, not bondage. Weirdos. Bonding time. Whatever that may be, whatever the dynamic of your station is. So playing sports together, pickleball, basketball, working out together, whatever it may be, those little things help to increase morale. And it becomes like the norm. Like we always, after lineup, we do PT. What is acceptable with your department physically or whatever the traditions are for your department, do it. Do it and try not to deviate or make up excuses because of whatever. Just make it the norm. I don't think that's really a tough one because we like doing those things. But make sure it happens. Right now, if it's raining, you're like, oh, it's raining. What do we do? Well, I guess we're going to work out indoors or we're going to go do this now. Adjust. What about after dinner and you're working 24-hour shifts? Time of year, right? We have a little fire pit. Everybody sits outside. Has a cigar if that's allowed by your department, or Coke or coffee or tea or whatever the hell it is. Just some kind of way to sit around, just not the kitchen table. And, you know, I've even seen videos, right, where people have tables on the app floor and they hang out by the rigs and they're just hanging out, wherever. However it works for you, make sure that bonding time with the crew is happening. Because that, I think, builds a lot of towards how you're going to operate on the fire ground, EMS calls, everything is what has been done to build up the morale and bonding time before all that stuff happens. And where I've seen this happen in the younger generation, you guys know my daughters play softball. My 12-year-old, my wife is the coach of that team with, you know, a lot of other friends and coaches, and we have a great team. It's the first year 12U. They play 2 years under the same division, usually the same team. First year always is expected that they're just going to get beat up on. They haven't quite gelled. Well, okay, so you do practice after practice, and these kids have hitting coaches and fielding coaches. And it's next level stuff. But you're like, it's just not coming together. What the hell? And you start getting frustrated because you're spending all this money and time and. So you start seeing things like pizza parties after practice, birthday parties where there's pool parties, or going mini golf or whatever it may be, stuff. And damn, once that started happening more frequently, and the girls started seeing each other outside of just showing up in uniform and performing for 2 hours and having their parents bitch at them because they didn't catch a pop fly or a grounder. That's where they started coming together. So like literally like in the last 3 or 4 months, when they've started doing a lot more of those activities, it just like clicked and they're starting to win, and things are starting to bond. And even when they don't win, you're just like, damn, they're just moving forward at a different pace now because they've had this time together outside of the work that's expected of them. All right. I think you got one of my point is there. Another one, minimize how much time you allow the crew to be in the dorms. You figure out how to do that. But when people are allowed, like our stations, we've lost a lot of the open dorm concept. I don't care why, because I'm not going to step on that landmine. We have. And sometimes, honestly, I kind of like it because you're like, oh, I like my little dorm. I set it up the way I want and this and that. But the open dorm concept, like some of our stations still are somewhat open dorm. It's kind of cool. Like, I like it every once in a while. We're like, oh, this is actually kind of cool because you're not, it's not my regular. My station's only 20 years old. Everybody's got their own dorm and it's things, but nobody hangs out in them until it's time to go to bed. And one of the stations I worked at with an old time captain, we had the same thing, right? Dorms with pocket doors, and everybody was isolated, like a little, go to our little rat boxes. That captain at the time, it may have changed now because I haven't been there since 10 years ago. No TVs allowed in the dorms. He never wanted anybody to be adding a TV to their dorm. Now, so 10 to 15 years ago at this station, a little bit before iPhones and all that, where iPhones were just coming out then. So it's different now, right? You don't need a TV in your dorm. Phones, iPads, computers. A TV, I have a TV in my dorm. I literally turned it on last night just to see if it worked. And I've been at my station for 2 years. I just don't watch the actual physical TV on the dorm wall. Just look at something on my phone, or do like most of us, right? So that doesn't really, you can't really control that. But just minimizing the culture of not letting people hang out in their dorms, or keeping them busy enough to keep them out of their dorms, or just setting the tone right away and saying, I don't want you in your dorms. You know, at night, you can do whatever you want after dinner and things, but in between calls and things, I don't want people hanging out in their dorm. Now, they get their butt kicked the night before and they're working multiple shifts, or somebody's not feeling well, totally different. Go lay down in your dorm, do whatever. And I've done it, right? I need to go just lay down, be by myself for 10, 15 minutes, hit the reset button. I'll go in my dorm for 10 or 15 minutes, but I set a timer on my phone. I don't allow myself like, oh, I'll just wake up or I'll be good, because I've done that, right? And I've screwed that up and be like, oh God, it's 45 minutes later. So I set a timer on my phone, whatever is appropriate for you. And then I come back out, and people know, right? People know when you're like, I just need a moment to get away and reset myself or go deal with some stuff. That's different. What I'm saying, like the norm is everybody just goes in the morning, does their stuff, checks out their rig, goes to line up. And then everybody's just in their dorms in between calls and the day. You might as well just slide food under the door. No. That's a jacked up concept. Now, you can do whatever you want to run your firehouse. Do whatever you want. I'm not telling you you're doing it wrong. I'm just saying your morale probably isn't great based on that kind of operation or that thing. And I'm sure I'll get pushback like, oh, these guys are older. They don't need to constantly train, this and that. No, bullshit. I don't want to hear it. Then don't be in the fire service. I'm not saying we have to just be out grab-assing and screwing around all the time. But if your daily routine is just hang out in the dorms, come out for calls, come out. Dude, that is just brutal. Been there, right? You've seen it and done it. It's not the best thing. Let's see. Cell phones. We could talk about this all day. Cell phones are a distractor, but they're not going away. I have mine on me at all times. Not because I'm waiting for some, you know, non-important phone call to interrupt my day. It's because I have a lot of apps and maps and things on there I want to keep with me in case I need on a call, because we use it a lot to do certain things with our department. And it's just a nicety. It's not a necessary, but they're not going away. And people are going to be like, oh, cell phones are just killing everything. Everybody's on their phone all the time. True. We don't like you've heard me say this before, but if you haven't listened to the other episodes, I don't like cell phones at the table at lineup. So much so that I make it a point to turn the ringer off on my cell phone and put it over by the coffee pot, nowhere near the table, because I want people to see, like, I don't want your phone out. I'm not kidding around. Like, you can, but I don't tell people to all put them in their box by the phone and then you can pick it up when you leave lineup. No. I just don't want it out on the table or people scrolling on it, because then I get pissed. Because I want them to listen for the 10, 15, 20 minutes, or we may have a little mini drill that just pops up because somebody brings something up. Cool. Unless they are reading weather off of their phone, showing a drill on TV through, you know, mirroring it to the TV, and that's already pre, hey, I have my phone because I want to show a drill. Okay, cool. That's different. You can't really win about the cell phone thing, because you've probably seen it now, right? I'm guilty of it too. Everybody sits down and bonding time to watch a movie after dinner, but half or everyone at some point is on their phones at the same time. Okay, what are you going to do with that? I don't know. I've struggled with it myself, and at some point I just go, you know what? At least they're all sitting together in the dorm, or sorry, in the day room watching a movie. And if you're watching Tombstone for the 200th time, because that's just one of those classic firehouse movies, does it matter that they're looking at their phone, but at least they're all sitting together? I don't know. Which one do you take as the win? I take the win at they're at least all sitting together, because I'm not going to control or dictate what people are doing on their phones. Now, do I like it when we're out and say we're sitting down or we're picking up food? Perception of the public seeing us on our phones constantly, I don't like that one. I try to curb that as much as possible, because I like people to have their head up, even on the rigs. I hate, because I've been caught too, right? I'm looking at something up for the map or something that has to do with our call that we're going on, and then somebody's like, oh, there's a kid next to you waving. I'm like, ah. Those people don't know that I'm looking at something that has to do with the call. They just see my head down like every other clown that's driving around looking at their phone. So unless it's something that's work-related, I try not personally to be on my phone, and then I don't want other people on their phone. I want us to be engaged with the public when we're out driving around. You can do whatever you want with that, but that's just my personal opinion. I can't stand going, hey, this kid's waving next to you. Because you see it all the time, right? You pull up next to a car and the parent rolls down the back window like you're supposed to be their little entertainment for 10 seconds. But I'm just being a smartass. That's what we're here for, right? Public. So engage. You shouldn't have to look like that and then be like, hey, pay attention. All right. Meals together. We talked about that. Dinner. I'm fortunate. I'm at a place at a station where we pretty much cook dinner 90-95% of the time. The only time we don't is every once in a while, you know, you're just like, forget it. Let's just go out and pick up something. Cool. Or the day just gets away from us and nobody got to the store. That's different. But cooking meals and at least dinner together is huge, I think. So, but I've also been at stations where they're like, yeah, we don't do that. We don't cook dinner. And you try for months and months to get a routine going, and they're like, yeah, we don't do that. Okay. Well, at least maybe you just all at least brown bag and eat together at the same time. Call that a win. All right. How about a station patch or logo? That to me is a big one. If it already exists, cool. If it doesn't, or maybe it's time to change one up or something's changed, or maybe you just want to have another option for a logo, cool. Work on one if you're so inclined to. There's so many programs and companies that will do it for you. But having some time of like tying together bond increases morale. Like you're going to see people put it up. Challenge coin, belt buckle, station patch, logo, whatever it is. I think that stuff really increases morale because it increases pride. Kind of goes hand in hand. All right. How about cleanliness of the rigs, the tools, and the station itself? That's big. I don't think I have to tell you that. But I have gone back to work at stations that I used to work at and go, what in the hell? And maybe I just caught them at a bad time because this is like, once again, as usual, small glimpse in time. But for the most part, what you see is what you get. And that's kind of like the new standard when you go to a place and visit a firehouse and you're like, oh, this place is dog crap because people just do the bare minimum every day. And I don't want to hear, oh, but we're too busy. Bull crap. I've worked at busy enough places and I'm not going to toot my own horn. I've worked at busy places. Those places, the rig, the station, the expectation, the morale were through the roof. So I don't want to hear it. If you want to use that excuse, go ahead. Keep lying to yourself. That's not true. Now, if it's dog crap when you walk in and now you're trying to adjust things, that's going to be an uphill battle. I get it. But to say we're too busy, that's not an excuse. Nope. Don't want to hear it. Yeah, it's just you do or you don't. So don't be like, oh, it's just too busy. We can't keep the rigs clean. We can't do that. Yeah, you can. Let's see. What else? SOP, SOGs. I've talked about on the fire ground. That helps build morale. I want to kind of capture that one. We do quarterly inspections in our department. One every 3 months, right? Quarterly. Oh, thanks. Quarterly, with one being the annual big inspection where the assistant chief and the battalion chief come and they do a big hours-long inspection. And then in between that, we have apparatus, records, and building inspections, all quarterly separated out. Well, part of that inspection is a lineup, a physical lineup of your members, which shows their safety gear, their IDs. You kind of dress it up a notch, polish your boots a little. But it's not this hardcore inspection. But can it be? Can you find somewhere in the middle where it isn't where you call the chief in the morning and go, do you want to line up? Whatever the standard is for your department and the expectation, do that or go a notch above. Let them tell you you don't need to do that. But if they show up, hey, we're going to have an inspection at 10. And as they roll up at 10, barring calls and how your day is going, you're already lined up with all your gear ready. Do you think they're going to tell you, oh, put all that stuff away, I don't want to see it? And they shouldn't. The chiefs shouldn't. Even if it's a quarterly inspection where you're like, it's not that big a deal. Well, do you think that doesn't increase morale when you have a high standard and that rumor doesn't get around to the other stations, go so-and-so shift or all of those people, doesn't matter. You don't get to reap the benefits of being the company officer just because of that. It's your whole crew gets that reputation and morale boost and reputation throughout the department. I don't care if you're one station where it's that shift or you're 200 stations, whatever it is. It'll get around. All right. So how about on these difficult times where people are working a bunch? What do you think about having families over, encouraging to say, hey, if you want, have your families come over. We can do dinner. It's a weekend. We can do breakfast. At least have them come by for 10 or 15 minutes. That helps increase morale when people are getting kicked in the butt and they've been stuck at work for a bunch. Even if they're doing it voluntarily, like this person just works a lot. And so they have no reason to complain because they're voluntarily working. Well, yes, but take care of them as well. Because if they weren't working that much and you had a staffing issue, then somebody else is probably going to get a mandatory or recall behind them. So take care of them as well. Just because they voluntarily work a bunch doesn't mean that they should be, oh, well, that's up to you. So you think of your family second best. No, maybe they got something financially they need to handle or whatever it may be, take care of them just as well. Having families over for holidays, just to visit on a regular day, making sure they take time out to call their family. You know, everybody kind of does that on their own, but to actually physically have them come by, if that's logistically possible, always encourage that. And then big on that too is how about just straight up showing interest in your people? Now that one, I have to like sit for a second and remind myself. I'm always switched on right at work to do work stuff. Sometimes that's what the bonding time of maybe sitting around a fire outside. That where the conversation shifts toward showing interest in your people on their personal life, if they're willing to share, helps create the morale and a way to kind of check on your members and see how they're doing versus just strictly all business all the time with them. Like, you can tell right in the morning if somebody's on or off. If they're like off that day, now do you wait till nighttime and go, hey, are you good? No, you know how to work through that. But on an average day when everything's kind of normal and everything's good, the time to kind of invest in your people is one of two ways. One is during a big open group and just asking questions and feeling them out and having them talk about their personal life, right? Because ultimately, we kind of like to talk about ourselves and maybe our achievements of things we've achieved in life or vacations that are coming up, exciting things that are happening, buying a house, getting married, like I said, vacations, school achievements for kids, going to college, all that stuff. That's the time to ask about it too. Like, it gets talked about, right? But to really deep dive into it and to get to know your people and show that you care, which will increase morale in the long run too, is making sure you're doing those things. Let's see here. What else do I get? All right. So I've talked about a bunch of things here. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But those are big, right? Those are good ones. There's plenty. You have probably have some right now that you're burning going, you didn't talk about this. Well, like I said, hit me up and I'll revisit these things because this one's kind of a good one to constantly go back and revisit, or I can send it out on Instagram stuff or something. We can just pass on knowledge from each other. But I had a recent interaction with a captain who took me up on when I always say, email me, call, here's my phone number or whatever, emails me and just have, we have a little exchange on email. And then I go, well, here's my phone number. And it's a captain here in California, works for Cal Fire, Captain Abrams, works up in the Bishop area in the Eastern Sierras. So kind of by Mammoth, just below Mammoth, right? But it's all that Eastern Sierra area. And he hits me up and kind of, you know, I appreciate him saying that he appreciates the stuff I'm doing. And we kind of have this little back and forth exchange with just talking about morale and just being positive about the fire service. Sends me some awesome pictures of things that he's done to kind of share the craft of firemanship, right? Like, I've talked about this and mentoring people for the future. And he sends me pics of his crew training together, belt buckles, and so much so that, like, you know, you have to kind of like earn the belt buckle thing, which I think is cool. I wish we could do it, right? It's against our uniform policy to do it. And I haven't wanted to breach that one, but station patches and some other ways you can find to work around your, maybe your uniform policy. It's awesome, right? He sends me these pictures of pride in the station and how it's good to be proud of your station and good to be proud of your members and put back into them. And just teaching the future. So we had this back and forth exchange, man. And I was like, man, that is awesome. One, that he would put himself out there and text me and show me all these things. And then we go back and forth and we send things to each other still every once in a while. But just that overall knowing that there are people out there that have this tremendous station pride. He showed me pictures of the station, their table. It's awesome. I love it. So some people were poo-poo on that, right? Like, ugh, that's dumb or that's nerd stuff. Well, you know what? Screw that. That is awesome. That builds this net of morale, camaraderie. It'll translate into morale on the fire ground, ability for people to want to learn and open up that environment where people are like, oh, that's kind of nerdish. So what? You don't like it? That's fine. Don't engage it. Don't wear it. Don't wear a belt buckle. Don't wear a patch. You don't have to. But other people think it's cool. It's in a way to bond people together, because I guarantee you do stuff like that aside on top of being a good quality company officer, you will have a line out the door of people wanting to come work for you. And whether they say it or not, or actually do it and put in to come work for you, is two different things. But I guarantee you're going to have a line out the door where people are going to at least know that wherever they want to get to, they need to work around a person like you, or at least you're going to push them or make them better on a daily basis. Now, are you 100% 100% of the time? Of course not. But I'm just saying, all these little things we kind of discussed here on top of you knowing what the hell you're doing as a company officer and you're going to screw up a bunch. I'm telling you, you're going to screw up a lot, but you got to learn from it. And you got to be willing to put yourself out there and say, oh yeah, I messed that up. But, you know, I can't just say, okay, let's talk about being you as a company officer. What I'm saying is all of that cool stuff I've talked about in other episodes about getting yourself ready and being ready to go on top of increasing the morale. You're going to have a line out the door of people that want to work for you or at least with you. And those are the people you want to attract. That minimizes the shitbirds that you're going to have to deal with because they already know your program and they know that you're into it. It helps to curb keeping the turds away. All right. So thank you, Captain Abrams. I appreciate all that stuff that we've talked about and seeing those things out there. It's like motivating from myself as well. All right. In conclusion, we have a small window, right? 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, whatever you're able to contribute, whatever works for your situation, however your department and your career path is going to work. We fit in that little window in time. I try to do the best I can, just like you. One day, we're all going to be gone from that, right? We're going to retire. And we're going to be remembered, hopefully, to a degree. Then all of a sudden, nobody's going to remember you. But you're important to those friends and family that are around you. So while you're in that window, do the best job you can do. Learn. Pass on the knowledge. And then maybe after, like I plan to continue maybe doing this after. I'm trying to figure out the plan, right? I got years still to work. But you never know, right? Something can happen. If you don't think it hasn't crept into my mind with my back hurting, it's like the first time I've had this type of injury. It's just like a nagging injury. It's not something that's like going to put me off right now. You're like, oh shit. It's like, hold on a second. Will I make it? Doubt creeps in. Will I make it to my whole 30 years? What happens if that doesn't happen? What can I do? Don't worry about that right now. Unless you're really in a bad way, then we got to work towards getting you where you can operate. But my whole point is, in general, without some catastrophic thing happening to you, we're in a small window where we do the best we can and then we move on and hopefully make it to the end, right? That's our goal. Make it to the end. So you got to take care of yourself as best you can. Take care of your family. I've somewhat talked about that in the work-life balance, a previous episode. I think I definitely expanded on it more. But don't wait until it's time to retire where you're like, oh, I better get my stuff together because now I'm going to be home all the time, but my wife or my significant other hates me and everything goes to hell. I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not trying to tell you. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. My wife could come home today and be like, I'm tired of your bald ass. So who knows? What I'm saying is we're in that small window. Even though it could be 30 years, it goes fast, right? Do the best you can. Be like these captains that are out there and company officers that increase the morale, that push forward and hand off that craft of firemanship. Right? Because if you listen to Jocko and all those people, what does he always say? I'm training people to take my job. That's what we're doing. Right? If you're listening to this and you're getting close to being a company officer, you're brand new, whatever it may be, eventually, depending on what your goal is, you're going to teach somebody to take your job, whatever rank you're in. Hopefully, that's the ultimate goal. And that's what I think would be helped best. Ultimately, we can only control what we do, right? Trying to change behavior and attitude and do these 180s on people takes a long time. You may never succeed where you think you're going to take somebody under your wing and make them your pet project and it either works or it doesn't. Or they take a little bit and everything else, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, we just try to make ourselves the best that we can be. And we're going to be on this roller coaster of up and down and positive and then in the dumps. I don't know. I'm just starting to see it now going, all right, it's a win. I woke up today. Now, what am I going to do with that day? Whether I'm at work, that's a whole one set of rules of doing things, or whether I'm at home. Right? Live every day like it's your last. Yeah, true. But if that was true, I wouldn't get anything done because I just want to have fun. But you know what I'm saying? We're trying to do the best that we can. So if ultimately it starts with you, if you can be a positive morale as often as you can, barring the hits that life sends to you, and maybe some of these topic ideas we talked about, then we're ultimately going to leave the fire service at least the way it is now, if not better. I think if we all, right, we could always do better. All of us can always do better. That's all I'm saying. I could come up and now I could just keep quoting all these cool things right now, but I'm not going to do that. We've had good conversation here. I hope this has helped you with some things or maybe just reinforced a few things. If you'd like to get a hold of me, it's the email fireofficerproject@gmail.com. I have a website, The Fire Officer Project, all typed out. Instagram, same thing. Just type The Fire Officer Project. It'll come up. There's a button to text me, DM. You can figure it out. There's a way to get a hold of me. Looking forward to some more episodes and getting ready to launch the interview side. If you have interest in being on the show to be interviewed, you know somebody that's some heavy hitter that would really do well in your department or a connection you have, and they're willing to have you share their information, send it my way, and we'll keep this thing going forward. Until then, be safe, keep moving forward, and have a good day.